Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory and Ivory Coast Media Production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. We have an outstanding guest with us this afternoon, and I'm excited to hear what she has to share as it relates to remarkable and resilient women. I have enjoyed doing this series this month, and our special guest today is Dr. Mary Seegers. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Mary Seegers is the founder and CEO of Seegers Consulting Group. SCG is committed to providing entrepreneurs and businesswomen the needed tools to be the best leaders in corporate and personal environments. She is a certified John Maxwell speaker, trainer, and coach. Dr. Seegers has published two best-selling books, Power Talk. Begins with power thought. Let me say that again. Power Talk begins with power thought, and Wake Up the Leader Within You. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Mary Seegers. How are you, Dr. Mary Seegers?
I'm great. How are you, Bob?
Absolutely fantastic, and glad to have you on. So let's get into it. But before we get into my questions, Just tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Okay, I'll be honored, and I'm honored to be on your show today.
Thank you.
I like to refer to myself as a hope pusher. You might think, what is a hope pusher? I value all people, and I know when people are despair or unfocused, they need hope, especially in the environment we're in today, Bob, with the pandemic.
Yes.
And the uncertainty of everything. So I like to always encourage people and let them know that they can live to their full potential and their authentic lives.
That is powerful. Powerful. Absolutely powerful. So, Dr. Mary, tell me, if you don't mind, name three women that have had a tremendous impact on your life and tell us why.
I thought that was an interesting question because my first and foremost woman that made an impact in my life is my mother, my late mother. She's with the Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Johnson, I was named after her.
Okay.
I was the baby of six children. And she had me later in life, Bob, but you know what? It was right on time because she instilled in me, as well as my siblings, especially in me.
Mm-hmm.
How to really love and believe in myself and to be a self-starter and a motivator.
Wow.
You know, she recognized the gift in me as a leader, and she tried to, you know, use that in every area that she could. She put me in the 4-H club, and mm-hmm. I was just involved in some other things where I was able to use my leadership skills.
Okay.
Yes. The second person, well, let me go back to my mother. She was only 4 feet and 7 inches tall, but she was a giant to me.
Okay, okay.
She had this infectious smile.
Wow.
I mean, she loved people, and she was very hospitable. And I believe I got all of those traits from her as well. I love people, I value people, and I love to smile.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, there's nothing like a great smile to put people at ease.
That's so true, and that you're approachable, and that you're, you know, willing to talk with them, walk with them, and that makes a difference in the world. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was thinking my second person would probably be my coach, which is Dr. Cheryl Wood.
Okay.
She demonstrates such strength in weak times. I know she had a sudden death in their family, and she was able to just to be strong. And of course, she grieved, but she was able to allow God to give her strength, you know, mm-hmm. that inner strength that she tapped into, and she was able to demonstrate that among her clients and in her world. She's very down to earth, and she's successful in her craft.
Okay.
And very approachable and honest. You know, I like a truth. She's a truth teller, and I like that.
Okay. Wonderful.
And the third person is from afar, but Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Has really been my, I guess you consider an idol. I guess we're not supposed to have idol, but I admire this woman.
Sure. I understand. I get it.
Because she's a powerful woman, but she doesn't have to show off about her prowess. You know, she knows who she is, and her very presence is always felt.
Absolutely.
I ordered her book, and I mean, I just can't put the book down. I've given the book out to other women that I told her, you know, you need to read this, absorb this, and get connected with who you are. So I really admire her for who she is, and just a powerful woman.
All right. Absolutely outstanding, and thank you for sharing those influences on you. And let me ask you about the word resilient. When you hear the word resilient, what does that mean to you?
The word resilient means to me to be steadfast and unmovable.
Mm. Oh, wow. That's good.
And I can remember when I was at work in a corporate environment, my girlfriend was going through a very, very terrible divorce. She had two young sons at the time. She wanted me to be a character witness for her. And I said, sure. She said, I'm just worried about my sons. And I remember telling her, I said, your boys, because they're children, they're so resilient, and they'll bounce back, and they can adjust to new environments. And of course, that thing came to pass because they both graduated. One went on to Eastern Michigan. One went to Michigan State. So they were able to endure that change that was happening in their life. Mom and dad's not going to be in the same house, you know, but they were able to be resilient. And then another instance, I can make it more personal, when I had to be resilient. I know it was in 2012. I'll never forget it. I was at a stoplight, mm-hmm. and a car came right in front of me and just hit my car.
Wow.
My glasses flew off. I mean, I was kind of semi-unconscious for a moment. And it was just unbelievable, you know, in slow motion, you know.
Right, right.
And, of course, the ambulance came and took me to the hospital. My husband was there, my family. And they did some x-ray on my neck. I couldn't move my neck. And so my doctor noticed that there was some growth on my thyroid. Mm. And he wanted me to get some further look at that. You know, we did some biopsies. And he said it was more than 1 inch. And it looked suspicious. They thought it was cancerous. I had to stand on the word of God.
Mm.
I mean, I had to be firm. I had to be determined. And I had no symptoms prior to the accident. I would have never even known. Sometimes things happen for a reason, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
I know. And I just said, I had to believe and know that even though I'm going to be cured. It was stage 2 cancer, by the way.
Mm. Wow.
In your thyroid. So the doctor explained everything. I went for a second opinion. My husband and I, we prayed about it. I went back and they had the surgery. He said, we may have to only remove the right side. But after he went in, like it was spreading, so he took the entire thyroid. Mm. My voice is a little deep, you know, but my husband said he likes it because it's real sexy when I say, come here, honey.
Hey, I bet he does. A little sexual chocolate, right?
And I can recall my doctor say, Mrs. Stegers, you are so positive. I said, no. I'm a believer in Christ, and I thank you. I thank God for you as my doctor, but I know a greater one, my God. And he said, I really like the way you take control of your health and how we have to be firm about what people speak to our in our lives. I had to be resilient. Mm. I had to be determined. And I said, and that was what, 12 years? So, I mean, 2012, what is that, 8 years now? And I'm cancer-free.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's powerful. I mean,
thank God for that.
Thank you. That was a point of being really resilient and firm and determined.
No question about that. No question about that. at all. I don't know if you're a fan of movies, but I love movies, and I love what they call character arcs. Mm-hmm. And a character arc is the point where the before the hero becomes the hero, right, there's a point in their life where they are faced with the choice to be resilient or not. Mm-hmm. And it's that choice, but that arc, but you come to that point where you make this choice, where you come to the point of transformation, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember your personal point of transformation into the person that you are today?
Excellent question, Bob. And I thought about that. And I would think when I turned 40, and it was at a point that I knew at that point I was good enough, I'm smart enough, and I will live my life that was destined for me. You know, because in your 20s and your 30s, you're still trying to find your way, at least for me. You know,
sure.
I thought I was a pretty self-reliant, self-confident, but there's still some, you know, ifs and ands, and you question, you know, your ability, you question your, sometimes even your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, it was like a light bulb went off. Aha, you are Dr. Mary Segrich. You are a person that care about people who can, and you can help them by your coaching ability. Because it seemed like people always gravitated to me for advice. It's like, I have something on my forehead? You know, tell me all your business in 5 minutes. You know? But I knew that was the gift that was inside of me.
Hmm.
And when you recognize and understand and acknowledge your purpose and your gift, then you could be able to stand all the negatives, all the haters that will come, but you know that you know that you know who you are and who God made you to be.
Wow.
Then you can have that transformation. It's like I said, like the light bulb, like aha.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely.
You're happy, you know, you have joy about who you are, and you just in light and love to live your best life. So it takes time, but you have to be honest with yourself. You know,
sure,
and know that you are who you are, who you are meant to be. You know your purpose, and you're walking in that anointing.
Wow, absolutely awesome. So tell me this: speaking of more resilient talk, and you certainly have a remarkable story, and I'm sure that there's more that people can glean if they had the opportunity to talk to you. But I know it requires a lot of resilience and fortitude, along with some other attributes, to write a book. And you've written two books, is it? Or is it more? Just two books you've written?
It's two books, and I also was a contributing author in an anthology.
Yeah.
So really, like 2.5, I guess.
Okay, yeah. I felt there was, I don't know why, I just felt there was more than two, but it is my spider sense was tingling, I guess. Anyway, you're in the so you've written two books. Tell us the inspiration behind why you wrote the books that you've written.
Yes, I know when I was going through school, I was getting my doctoral degree. One of the requirements, I had to write a dissertation. And I went to my counselor. I said, you know, I really want to write a book. I want this dissertation not just to be, you know, academic. I want it to really, you know, be a legacy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared with me some things. You have to do certain things for a dissertation. But then once that's completed and you've completed that work, that body of work, then you can go ahead and do certain things to make it a book. And so with that determination, you know, I was really writing too. I was writing a dissertation and a book.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I had to really be disciplined as far as my time. And my best cheerleader was my husband. He said, okay, you're leaving the house, go to the library and come back with two chapters. So, because if you're here at home, Mary, you go, let me put a load in. Let me put, you know, a laundry in. Let me, you know, I was doing other things.
Right.
Rather than focusing on writing.
Sure.
I'm so sorry about that phone. Mm. So, So anyway, I would go to all the various libraries around the community. I went to West Bloomfield Library. I went to the Farmington Hills Library. I think they do me after a while because I was there pretty regularly. But being determined, and then I had to think about my audience. Who am I writing this to?
Okay.
Who needs to know this? You know, because power talk begins with power thought. It's basically a self-talk to victory.
Okay.
We do talk to ourselves as humans. Mm-hmm. I did a little survey. Where do you talk to yourself at? You'd be amazed at some of the answers I received. Some people said in the bathroom, you know. I said, okay, or in their bedroom. And my favorite place was in the car. I would turn the radio off and I would just have conversations, you know. Mm-hmm. And not that we're crazy because we talk to ourselves. Sometimes we need to speak out what we have in our, you know, it has to get from your brain and your mind out, you know, to hear your voice speak out.
Sure.
And what really had me started thinking of that, I listened to my grandson. I had watched him one day. He might have been about in first grade. He was practicing for his I Have a Dream speech.
Okay.
And I walked past, you know, the room he was in. He was just talking. And I said, grandson, who are you talking to? He said, oh, you weren't supposed to hear this. I'm practicing my speech, you know. And I said, now here's the kid trying to, you know, practice his speech. He had to speak out and speak it. I said, we do speak to ourselves. And so that really gave me the thought about how we talk to ourselves and make sure we're saying the right things to ourselves.
Right.
So it took determination, it took a lot of rewrites, it took a lot of revision. I had my editor said, do you really mean this? I said, no, I do mean this, and I want to say this, you know. So it was just a time of just devoting that determination and that perseverance to make sure that I got my thought across and that the readers could appreciate what I was saying.
That's awesome. Yes. Now, what's the, that's Partha, and your other book?
Is Wake Up the Leader Within You.
Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. That book really, I think people get titles mixed up. If you a CEO or you whatever the title is, that doesn't necessarily make you a leader.
True.
And I identify what a leader is. You know, I said, let's not get it twisted. It's not a title. You know, even if you have influenced someone or encouraged someone, that's being a leader as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
So I gave different illustrations of what it is to really be a leader. And then when I went to Bangkok, Thailand with a women's group, I had spoke about how to wake up the authentic you or wake up the leader within you. And I gave the four steps I like to share with you. The first one is to arise. And sometimes we walk through life sleepwalking, you know, eyes open, but sometimes we have to arise and wake up, and in other words, shake ourselves awake so that we recognize what's, you know, that awareness. You got to be aware of who you are.
Sure.
So it's like part of discovering who you really are, your authentic self. The second step is acknowledge. Once you are aware and you arise to that point, you have to acknowledge, I am a winner. I am an author. And so once you make that announcement, you make an intentional awareness of saying who you are.
Okay.
And once you acknowledge that, then you have to go and what I call adapt. Get out of our comfort zone, because we can do what we do in our comfort zone half sleep. But once you're fully awake and you acknowledge who you are, then you have to rise above your comfort level.
Absolutely.
To reach new heights and to reach new levels, to reach, you know, new, to soar higher than where you are.
Sure.
Because you always have to be in a mode of, I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to grow. And then the last step is to become the leader that you were destined to be, or become the authentic you, become the champion in you, or, you know, so become that person who you were destined. But it takes those level of acknowledging that,
sure.
You know.
Time to put the cape on and be Superwoman or Superman and who you're destined to be.
Absolutely. Remarkable and resilient.
Indeed. Remarkable and resilient without question. Well, yeah. I really appreciate what you shared. We're going to get ready to wrap up this time together, but do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with the audience, in particular people that may be struggling with their purpose or people trying to find themselves?
That's an excellent question, Bob. I would just like to encourage all of your listeners to be honest with yourself, you know, to take the time to know you. Mm. You know, I've done a seminar before, and I remember telling people one of the assignments was to go out and date yourself. Mm. And that was kind of difficult. Well, I'm always, you know, I've never gone out by myself, but you got to enjoy your own company, enjoy sure. your skin that you're in. And I said, if you step out and always not expecting someone else to be right there on your right hand or your left hand, but to know that you are complete within yourself, you know, that wholeness and the depth of who you are, it's like peeling that onion away, you know, because sometimes we put on facade and we know how to do the, I'm great, everything is great, but you know, get to the core or the essence of who you are, mm-hmm. and then you can be true to yourself, and you'll be able to have a life that is free, a life that you can enjoy your best life, you know?
Absolutely.
I think people just need to be honest with themselves, love who they are, be kind to yourself as well. You know, we're kind to our neighbor, or we're kind to the male person or whatever, but learn how to be kind to ourselves, you know.
That's wonderful.
And I think it's just a way of getting in touch with who you are and enjoy who you are.
Outstanding. Well, there is a lot of wisdom, and I know that there's some great takeaways that our audience has had the opportunity to glean from, and they will continue to glean, because this information will be there for quite some time to review and for people to come back to over and over and over again. Dr. Mary, thank you so much for being with us. Tell the audience how they can connect with you in terms of opportunity to get your wonderful books.
Sure. They can reach me through social media, Dr. Mary with Power Talk. Also, you can reach me on my website, a newly designed website is www.seegersconsultgroup.com. You can reach me via email, it's newdircoaching.com. And my phone number is area code 947-215-4700. That's my business number. And reach out to me. Both of my books are on Amazon.com. And I'm just excited because I believe, you know, we need to know that we can do more than we think we can, and we are greater than we confess to be.
Absolutely. Well, I think that you have certainly touched the hearts of those that are listening and taking it to heart. And ladies and gentlemen, you be sure to connect with Dr. Mary Seegers and get those books, because I'm sure they'll make a difference in your life. You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory, with special guest Dr. Mary Seegers. Once again, Dr. Mary, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it, Bob. Have an awesome day.
You as well. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have more guests and more great information after these messages.
Bethlehem House is a respite for homeless working women. They can stay here for up to a year. When they come, they're kind of disheveled a little bit, but we try and put them back together here. Our goal is for them to save money. It's very important, and clean their credit. Because without good credit, your money is no good. Isn't that amazing? But they stay here for a year, and we kind of get them back together, and they go on.
So, Sam, I heard your grandma say they're donating that car to Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Said they're getting a full fair market tax deduction for it.
I do not know what that means.
It means we get whatever it's worth as a tax deduction right when we donate it.
Nope. Not getting it.
It means we get money for it. So does the charity we pick. And the car goes half off to someone who really needs it.
Dollar bill, Sam. Whoop, whoop. Charity Motors.
Yep.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory, and we have an absolutely outstanding guest with us this afternoon in the person of Dr. Mary Clark. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Mary K. Clark received her bachelor's in fashion merchandising from Bowling Green State University, master's in counseling from Wayne State University, and her PhD in higher education administration from the University of Toledo. Dr. Clark is currently the assistant dean for student affairs at the Eugene Applebaum College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences at Wayne State University. She has worked as a higher education administrator and transformative leader for over 30 years in various positions, including counseling, academic advising, and student recruitment. Her current administrative responsibilities include managing the full scope of services from recruitment, admissions, advising, and graduation certification for students in 11 healthcare science programs, and that's just getting started. Welcome, Dr. Mary Clark. How are you today, Dr. Mary?
I am doing well. Thank you so much, Bobby. I think I want to meet that person.
That is a phenomenal woman, as Maya Angelou would say. Phenomenal, phenomenal woman. And we're talking about remarkable and resilient women. And certainly you have made a lot of accomplishments, and you are quite busy and making a tremendous contribution to life and to people's lives in a myriad of levels. But let me just ask you about your influences. Tell me three women that have really impacted your life.
Well, three women. Of course, I have to say my mother is the first mm-hmm. of those women, and primarily because she taught me everything that I know, whether she knew it or not. Mm-hmm. I watched her like a hawk from the earliest that I can remember. She taught me how to cook, sew, garden, be kind to people, all those things that mothers do. But she also taught me this really quiet strength that she possessed, and I realized that I have that same quiet strength as well. The second woman is a woman named Carol.
Okay.
She is here in Detroit. She was like a second mother to me. When I moved to Detroit some 36 years ago, she opened her home to me because I was, you know, this country girl coming from Millington, Michigan, and looking for a place to live in Detroit. And I had a newspaper with several apartments circled, and I thought she was going to tell me which areas of these apartments were the best area to live in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know, she was just going to open her home for me to stay there until I could find a place that was suitable. She lived in the Boston Edison District. She still lives there, actually. And we were at the same path, both going through divorce at the time. But she is Harvard educated, an entrepreneur, a phenomenal woman herself. And I learned so many lessons just about living and kind of embracing the moment, regardless of the circumstances, from her. And we had a wonderful Thanksgiving where I was poor as a church mouse, but I knew how to use coupons thanks to my mother.
Okay.
And we had a fabulous Thanksgiving spread for about $10 because I knew how to use coupons.
Wow. So,
$10? $10. She got to experience me, you know, doing what I was very skilled at because of my mother. But Carol also got to experience me going through the ashes of becoming that phoenix rising to my potential. So she always will be very special to me. because of the strength that she allowed me to gain by opening her home to me when I was very vulnerable. Mm. The third woman is my niece, Nicole. She's 30 something, about half my age, but I've always been intrigued by her fearlessness. She is just, you know, a young mother, single mother, raising a fearless 11-year-old and a fearless 9-month-old. And
wow.
She picked up and moved to Flint, from Flint to San Antonio. And I've just been amazed at how easy she is to adapt while being very protective and being very intentional in what she does and how she does it, and keeping her life simple so that she can do what she needs to do for her girls. And so with those three female influences, I think I've had a really great glimpse at things that have made me who I am today.
And that's absolutely awesome. Let me ask you this question. When you hear the word resilient, what comes to your mind?
Resilience to me means thick skin.
That's a good quality to have in this day and time.
Yes. Resilience and thick skin are synonymous because in order to experience resilience, I think you have to stumble a little bit, perhaps learn a few lessons. But it's how you respond to those lessons. And a resilient woman learns from the lessons, picks herself up, keeps going forward, but she also gets, you know, a few scars that make the skin a little thicker. And the next time that scar is perhaps, you know, has the potential to be broken again, you have to fall a little harder, so it's not as easy to break that scar open again. So you become resilient.
Oh, outstanding. As it relates to the story, the people that have influenced you, and the becoming who you are, and the people who have influenced you through their actions and deeds and their own personal resilience and remarkability, do you remember your personal point of transformation into who you are today? I like to think of it, I love to think of things in terms of movies and heroes, and that point before the hero becomes a hero, he has what they call an arc. And so he's this person before, and he has a situation or circumstances that puts him at a crossroads, whether he's going to become the super person or whether he's going to remain ordinary. So what's your point of transformation, if you don't mind sharing it?
I don't mind sharing it. And as you were saying that, the point that I was going to share, it just evaporated from my mind because another one just came so strongly to me. I was about 10 years old, and I was outside helping my father on the farm, and he wanted me to help him lift this trailer so he could put, he was changing the tire. And so I did what I thought I was supposed to do, and lifted it up, and he told me to put it down, and I put it down, but one of my fingers was underneath, and my finger was between the trailer and a cement brick, so it got smashed. And he quickly lifted the trailer and pulled my finger out, and I started crying, and he said, you know, he said, "You're okay, you're okay," and he looked at my finger, and I then got angry at myself because I didn't think that I fulfilled what my father wanted me to do. And he could see it in my face because I had a really bad temper. Well, I have a bad temper because, you know, it never goes away. And he saw me about to explode, and he took me by my shoulders and he said, "Mary," he said, "that temper is going to be the death of you." He said, you did not do anything wrong. And I want you to understand that if you continue to feel angry, he said, you're either going to hurt yourself or hurt someone else. So what I want you to do when you have that much anger in you, I want you to talk it out. You either talk it out to the person that made you that angry, or you go talk to someone else, because that is not going to help you at all. And, you know, it was a cold winter day. We were standing out in, you know, in the middle of the yard, but mm-hmm. I remember it as if it was yesterday, because if my father wouldn't have told me to get that temper under control, I don't think that I would have been able to do many things in many situations that I have since that time, because I've been angry. I've been very angry many times, but my father's voice always rings in my ear, and I always correct it quickly and do what I need to do. Talk to someone else or talk to the person who made me angry so we can work it out.
Wow. What do you think that anger comes from or came from? Because it sounds like something that it's you know, kind of embedded in your character at this particular point. And I like your explanation and your father helping you get it under control. But is it something that broods inside? And where do you think it came from?
Well, I grew up in rural America. My father grew up in rural America. Millington is about 15 miles from Flint, small community. And there were very few African Americans in my community. And so by the age of 10, I had been teased and taunted, and, you know, the N-word was slung at me so many times. And so my protection was just to, you know, anytime things were said to me that didn't feel right, I just held it in. And so I think my anger was stoked by all those things that were done to me, said to me, that I had little power against. And, you know, my father's life had to be 10 times tougher than mine.
Wow.
And so he recognized in me probably many things that he had to endure. And so I think, you know, he caught me at that pivotal moment in my life where, you know, I could have been dangerous to myself.
Sure, absolutely.
And so even though I grew up in a rural area, I think it allowed me also to become the chameleon that I am, in being able to move from a situation with in a rural community to an urban setting, to a professional setting, to a family setting, and do that code switching that many of us are
right,
you know, very accustomed to doing.
Certainly. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know that that's going to be something that people will find useful in terms of even admonishing others to get anger under control. Understand, and it's important to understand where it comes from as well. To me, if I understand where something comes from, I feel like I can manage it better somehow. It just kind of gives me some grounding. I want to switch gears a little bit. I know that you're in the process of writing a book. And in our conversation about your book a few weeks ago, there was one statement that you talked about self-love. And I just found it so intriguing, because there was a time when I heard the word self-love, I might have thought of narcissism. But loving yourself is essential, I believe, to making significant achievement. And if you don't mind, share with the audience the title, the book you're writing, and talk to us about the importance of self-love, in particular in your own life, and why that's important, why self-love is important.
I'll be glad to. So the title of my book is Not Quite a Love Story. To me, self-love is kind of a offshoot of my father telling me to get my temper under control.
Okay.
Being self-aware enough to know the things that are good for me and the things that are not good for me. And much like my mother, I can be a homebody and I can stay at home and enjoy the comforts of my home. But also like my father, I love to travel. I love to go. I love to explore the world. And I have, you know, I'm a world traveler. But okay. In traveling with some of my travel companions, they have seen my level of self-love when there's several people that are doing all kind of exciting things. And it's not something I want to do. You know, I didn't go on the Great Wall of China when everybody else went because there was something in me that needed to stay back and explore a different part of China by myself because I needed some quiet time. I knew I was at a breaking point. And so that was my example of self-love in that instance. But there's been times when I've done that also, and it hasn't been as big of a deal. You know, you don't go to the other side of the world and you don't go to the Great Wall of China, but Mary did, and people couldn't understand why I would have bypassed that wonderful opportunity. But for me, the love of self and the love of self-preservation was more important than experiencing something that I could have an opportunity to experience again. But I could never have an opportunity to preserve the feeling or the comfort that I needed at that moment. Mm-hmm. And again, because of that, I think that point when my father told me, if something's not right, fix it right then. And so for me, self-love has always been just taking the time to do what is needed for me in the moment. I don't know if I answered your question completely. Perhaps ask me another part of the question.
Well, no, it's fine. And well, talk about it in terms of, for just a few minutes, in terms of relationships to other people, because I believe that the lack of self-awareness can lead people into relationships that are unhealthy.
Right. So part of the book that I'm writing, Not Quite a Love Story, is my tribute to self-love, because there are many times you have an opportunity to be in relationships with people that feel really good, and you think that that relationship is where you're supposed to be and how your life is supposed to evolve. Mm-hmm. But there may be a time in that relationship that you get the idea that you're not what the person needs. Mm. Or the person is not what you need. And even though it looks good in public, you have to make the decision what feels best for you and your heart. And sometimes it's a difficult decision to walk away from a relationship because everybody wants to be with someone, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to be loved, to feel loved.
True.
But if the love that you're getting is not making you feel loved and it's making you feel another way, perhaps disrespected,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps used,
mm-hmm.
But publicly it looks good and other people think that's a really nice looking couple and they have it going on. You have to weigh the good and the bad, and if you value yourself, it's easy to determine what's best. And in my instance, what's best is self-love. Mm.
Excellent. Well, as we prepare to wrap up, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with our audience?
This has been a wonderful conversation to have with you, Bobby, and I just really appreciate the opportunity to talk about caring for ourselves, and especially during this time that we're all under such unusual pressures that we've never experienced before.
Yes.
And if I could just leave one tip for your audience, it would be there's no playbook about being a human. We all are in this one-act play of ourselves, and no one can make you feel good if you're not feeling good from the inside out. And one of the things that I continue to remember is the love that I felt from my parents made me know that if I didn't love myself, then no amount of love that they could give me could make me feel the way that I feel to be able to give love to others. So just love yourself. Be kind to yourself. Perfection is not necessary, but love is.
Absolutely. And that was a great answer, and I do appreciate it. Give the listeners some way to keep in touch so that when your book is ready, they can know or they can check in from time to time to see what the progress is. So an email address or some way to keep in touch with you.
Well, they can follow me on Instagram at Mary, the initial K, Clark, PhD, or they can follow me on Facebook at M. K. Clark.
M. K. Clark?
M. K. Clark, yes.
Absolutely outstanding. Dr. Mary Clark, thank you so much for sharing with the Spectrum audience. We certainly appreciate it. I appreciate it. And for me, it's always a delight to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Bob. I appreciate you too.
You have an outstanding day on purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Dr. Mary Clark with us on the Spectrum.
You know what? I think that'll do it for today. Once again, thank you. And you can respond to me on Instagram, Facebook. You can call at 248-494-2536. Whatever your preference, you can reach out however you wish. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. And you have a great day on purpose. And I mean that.
Queens, the Bronx, Statsnan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.